Earlier this morning, I came into this place. It was quiet and dark, and the words occurred to me, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and his presence lingers still as we come to worship. If you're able, would you stand and join in our call to worship, Victory in Jesus.
Seated.
God is good.
All the time.
Amen to that. Today, as we worship and celebrate, I want to make you aware of one thing. Tonight at 5:30, we'll have the beginning or the first night of our play practice for our children. We're switching gears a little bit away from the chimes and are starting to prepare for the Advent and Christmas season. So if you have a child or even a neighbor or a grandchild who might like to be a little angel because they are a little angel, or a little shepherd because they may be a little troublemaker, then send them tonight at 5:30 for that exciting opportunity. Today we sang Victory in Jesus, which is a staple of many funeral services. It reminds us that this Sunday is All Saints Sunday, a day in the life of the Christian year where we pause to remember those who have gone on before us, those forefathers and foremothers who paved the way of faith, those saints from ancient days who are in the kingdom of heaven and with the great cloud of witnesses. We especially want to acknowledge the martyrs on this day, those people who gave their very lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. Martyrdom is not a thing of ancient history. In fact, as our youth found out yesterday, it's something that's very much alive and unfortunately well in this day and age. Today, we remember those people. We celebrate their life, but we also honor and glorify Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. At every funeral service, we light a single white candle as a sign of the resurrection, the promises of the gospel, and a hope in life everlasting. And so today we light the Christ candle, and we pause, as we do each year, to remember those who have passed away who were members of First Baptist Church, Elon. Last year our list was very long. This year there are two names on that list, but they are very large memories that these names embody. As we consider those names, I'll read them, and we'll have a moment for silence to honor them and to glorify Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? The departed saints of First Baptist Church, November 1st, 2014 to November 1st, 2015. Carol Neese. Dale Harrison. To the glory of God and in the memories of those we love. Amen. There is a scripture passage of hope and promise that we use now as our opening scripture reading. We read it with them in mind from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through the first part of verse 10. Hear now the word of God. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food with marrow and well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our time of service for prayer, Mason mentioned our youth had a chance yesterday morning to work with an organization in Graham, Feed the Hunger. And we were able to assemble with three other youth groups 13,000 meals that will go to Iraq to Christian brothers and sisters and children in Iraq who are being persecuted as we speak. So it has weighed heavy on my heart since hearing the stories yesterday, and I know it has with our youth as well. So this morning is our time of invocation. We do want to remember all the saints, those that have passed, but those that are still present, those that are fighting the fight or carrying the story of who we are and what we do, for whom we gather. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I am just humbled as I reflect upon these two saints in our midst here at First Baptist Elon who have passed this year. The service they provided, the model of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood that they provided here at First Baptist Elon, I give thanks this day. We have been shaped by them, and we have been shaped by so many in our lives, so many family members or Sunday school teachers from the past or just Christian brothers and sisters who have helped form our faith and mold us to who we are today. And Father, you have called us to do the same. And we know as we gather here in this place, we are called to be your servants. We're called to serve you in so many different ways. Youth provided that opportunity yesterday morning. And thinking about the saints that are across this world, not just here in our backyard, who continue to honor and serve you. And again, I say I'm humbled because you have called us to be witnesses to your love, to your redemption, to your mercy and grace. Father, as we gather here at First Baptist Elon this morning, we are thankful that you are in our midst, But we know we have brothers and sisters across this world that you are present with them this day as well. And we give thanks. And we praise and honor you because that is why we're here. Father, I lift this prayer to you in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who brought us salvation, who brought us redemption, who brought us lessons of life, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would, stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, When We All Get to Heaven. Please stand.
Do you like to celebrate the good things that happen? Of course, we all do. The celebration team wants to rejoice with you for new births, weddings, job promotions, and other great things that happen to you and fellow church members. If you would like to join the celebration team, please let me know. We send cards. We do things like that. We also need to know when those good things happen to you, so if you'd contact us when those good things happen, that we can celebrate them with you. Now, I'm going to put on my missions hat for a minute and talk to you about the Brunswick Stew. We need 3 more people to help call and sell this delicious goodness that is going to be made on November 14th. If you would like to help with that, I'll be out in the vestibule after the service to talk with you about that. If you'd like to help in any other way, I'll be outside too. Thank you.
Stuff. And we're going to buy lots of Brunswick stew, and we're going to let our friends and families know about it. What a wonderful opportunity. chance for the congregation to do as well. Because we gather here, because we are a part of a great cloud of witnesses, and we have those witnesses in our hearts. Let's stand up, and we're going to have a prayer. This one is going to be a little bit different. Instead of me talking during our prayer time, we're just going to have a moment of silence. And I want you to think about who has helped you become who you are. And then I'll say, let's stand up. Let's pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Our offertory hymn is a great hymn of the faith, written by B.B. McKinney, who was an early saint in the Baptist life. Have faith in God. Will you stand and sing together with us?
Before Jeff comes and shares our offertory prayer, I want to invite you. I want to invite you this Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock to come and gather with a group of individuals who see the importance of reaching out to those who can't gather with us on a Sunday morning like today, those in our nursing home, those that are homebound. We have a group of ladies who are diligent and inspired by this ministry called Circle of Friends, and they want to invite you. They want to invite those who are able, those who have a little bit of time on Wednesdays, the first Wednesday of every month, to write cards or make phone calls or maybe go visit individuals in our church. So this Wednesday, this first Wednesday of November, I want to invite you at 1 o'clock to join us for Circle of Friends and become a part of ministry that makes a difference in our church family.
First, let me make an apology for being deacon in the week and forgetting it. And people got bee stung, I think it was, and people got to stand out in the rain, so that's my fault. Sorry about that. But let me say, we got a teenager in my house today, another teenager, so pray for us. We have two teenagers. My son is 13 today. Happy birthday, son. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, you are good. You bless us in ways that we, quite frankly, take for granted and oftentimes even forget. But, Lord, we thank you that you love us, and that you give us an opportunity to give back just a little of what you blessed us with. I pray that you'll receive these offerings and that they'll be used to build your kingdom. For we ask in Christ's name, amen.
Join me in our pastoral prayer and confession. Almighty God, it is a challenging season we find ourselves in. Many of us here today are confused or frustrated. Some are angry. Some are hurt and grieving. There's a swirl of emotions that others feel. And then some of us, God, don't know what to think. The world is, as we say often, a wide and confusing place. And all of us come today with our stories and our perspectives. But in this moment, we confess that it is in all times, good and bad, happy and sorrowful, that we need you. And yet so rarely do we turn our faces to you. We confess that as well. Teach us to be a people who surrender and rely on you, who believe in you and your promises. And on this All Saints Day, God, we lift up to you those who have gone on before us, who are with you now in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that we would remember them and honor them, but in that they glorify and point to you, to your love and your mercy everlasting. And in these days that we have and that we are given, we pray we would not squander them or waste them or worry them away, but live them in such a way that when we finally have our great getting up morning, we'll arrive in your kingdom and hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you hear again the words of Scripture from that glorious book, Revelation? In chapter 21, we are told this mystery. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Thank God for God's word. Amen. I think in every neighborhood, growing up, kids always have a boogeyman. Sometimes it's that house that you're not supposed to walk past or don't look towards. Sometimes that boogeyman is not a place in your neighborhood, but a neighbor in your neighborhood. Just that odd man who lives in that house at the end of the cul-de-sac, and everybody whispers about him when they're hanging out together or riding their bikes. For some kids, the boogeyman is a room that's just a little weird in the house, and maybe your parents even made that room weird because there's breakables in there and they don't want you to go near there. But when I was a kid growing up, when I was in middle school at least, we moved to town, and the boogeyman in our neighborhood was this bulldog that was on a rope at the end of this house that we had to walk by just about every day to go to the arcade. And yes, we went to the arcade every day. It was a ritual of ours, and we talked about this bulldog and how terrible and vicious he was. He was a monstrous thing. And every time we walked past that house, this bulldog, who had a rope tied around his neck and the rope tied around a tree, he would start barking and barking and growling, and then he would take off and run as fast as he could until he got to the end of that rope and then snap back and fall down on the ground. Then he'd get up, bark a little bit, he would back up and do it again until we were out of sight. He had kind of a funny way of barking. He kind of did his mouth like this. We hated that dog. We were so horrified of that dog. And then one day, as it would inevitably happen, the dog saw us. He started barking and growling. He started running full speed. And it seemed in my mind as though he was running faster than ever before. And he got to the length of that rope and snap. Not snap back, but snap. The rope broke. And I had, for the first time in my life, petrified fear, where you couldn't move. I don't think I was breathing. I felt this sickness in my stomach and just was there staring at this dog. And I thought, like, this is it. This is the end. This is how I'm going to go out from this world. Death by bulldog. And there he is coming, and he comes to my brother first. And he leaps on my brother, knocks him to the ground, and then all over his neck and his arms, he's just biting and shaking. And my brother is screaming out, ah, help, help. And no one is coming to help us. And I just know this is it. This is how my brother is going to leave the world. And then suddenly I realize he's not screaming anymore. He's laughing. And his dog is still biting all over his neck and arms and all over his stomach and just really going to town on him. But my brother is hysterically laughing. And finally he cries out in this gleeful, high-pitched voice, he ain't got no teeth. We found out later that apparently this dog, one, was extremely old. It had a case of bad teeth and some infections. And one way or another, his final days was he was toothless. This dog who horrified us for so long had nothing that it could really do to hurt us. You know, on All Saints Day, we are reminded that for those who are in Christ, ultimately death is a toothless bulldog. Consider how much time we spend in fear of death, planning for death, worrying about death, not simply for ourselves, but for the ones we love. It is a pervasive part of our lives that we are thinking about death. And we worry quite a bit about it. What will it be like? How will we face it? Or what will we do when we lose that person? And yet again, on All Saints Day, we're reminded that though all of that is natural fears, worries, and then after death, for those we love, we have grief, pain, maybe anger. That's all fine, as long as we also remember that in the end, death has no power. Death has no bite for those in Christ. What is it that the scripture says? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy victory? Victory's in Jesus, not in the shadow and the shroud of death. This scripture is often read at the funeral service. It's almost a staple throughout the ages. Where we come to Jesus has learned about his friend Lazarus, who is fading quickly. And we all know that feeling when you get word that someone you love and someone you care about, that maybe it's hospice that calls you or the chaplain at the hospital, and they tell you that thing you've been dreading to hear for so long when they said, it's close. You need to come now. Jesus gets that message. He gets the word, it's close. You need to come on and say your goodbyes. And yet instead, Jesus lingers. He waits. He takes his time. He doesn't seem too concerned. He carries on with the ministry that he's doing until he finally gets to the point where he says, our dear friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I go there to wake him up again. And when he finally arrives, it's too late. And some of us know what that is like. It's a kind of frustration and self-inflicted guilt that's hard to shake off when we were too late. But Jesus reminds us that maybe in Christ it's never too late. In verse 32 of John chapter 11, we pick up the story when it says, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. That is a poetic and powerful punch of verse, isn't it? He was disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So they said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. This is a moment of finality that Jesus is witnessing. And here he sees the crowds weeping and wailing. He sees the impact that death has, the hold over the imagination and over the emotions that death clutches. He sees all of this and the reality of the fact that this is the man that Jesus loved, a dear friend. And we get that verse, Jesus wept. You know there is nothing accidental in the scripture. And for it to tell us this detail, I think, shows the incredible concern God has for the reality of our lives. Jesus weeps so that we know it is all right to feel sorrow. How many of you have been told at some point in your life when you lose someone you love, oh, you need to keep your chin up. This is not a time for weeping. This is a time to celebrate. And there is truth in that. But doggone it, you don't tell someone who is breaking in their heart, just smile it away. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus wept. When we are faced with loss, God knows what we need, and what we need is not simply laughter, though I think there is healing in that, isn't there? We don't simply need to celebrate the kingdom of God in their life, though there is healing in that. But when we are sorrow-filled, weep. Jesus weeps with you. Jesus sits on the mourner's bench with us. Jesus holds us and comforts us in the tears. When we're angry at God for the way things have happened, take a cue from the scripture. They voiced their anger to Jesus. He didn't strike them down. He didn't disown them. He can take it. There's healing in honesty too. There's healing in knowing that we have emotions. We are people of emotions. We can be confused before God. We can be frustrated before Him. And we can be filled with tears before Him. But Jesus didn't stop there, did He? He didn't simply weep. He moved beyond the tears and showed us that there is a way forward. You never get over someone, but you do learn to live without them. Because we're our people of a promise. And for the people of the promise, it is never too late to be with a friend. In verse 38, or verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to Him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus has performed this miracle not to give us the message that he's going to bring everybody back from the dead and it's all right and there's never going to be any hurt or sorrow in this life. He's not predicting the zombie apocalypse here. He's saying that I am the one who has power over death. And if Jesus has power over death, that means death has no power. That is the message he is proclaiming. He is acting it out for us through the life of his friend Lazarus. And so we have these promises in Scripture that we've read today here together. That death is that toothless bulldog that cannot destroy us in Christ. And we live this gospel that proclaims, we don't know, but we know. Think about that. We don't know what life will be like in heaven, the kingdom, but we know it will be amazing. We don't know what our bodies will be like in the resurrection, but we know they will be glorified. We don't know what heaven will look like or smell like or feel like. Some of us even wonder, will all dogs really go to heaven? But we know it will be amazing. We don't know what God will say to us on that day, but we know He will remember our sins no more, and He will welcome us into glory. Jesus told Martha, when she cried about her friend Lazarus, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Our message ends with that lingering question, that in a world of chaos and death and modern day martyrdom, where believers are dying and our loved ones are going from us, when we face death and loss, we are faced also with that question Jesus asked Martha when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he will ask you today, do you believe this? This final act in our worship service as we sing our closing hymn is also an opportunity for you in motion to physically say, "I believe this promise of resurrection." On All Saints Day Sunday, we light this Christ candle and then invite you to come. And to the glory of God and in memory of someone that you have lost or someone's that you have lost, to light a single candle of your own. And in doing so, we proclaim, yes, we believe. Yes, Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, as we light these candles, we do not seek to glorify those we love. We simply seek to show that we believe that they lived their lives in a way that gave glory to you. And through them, they showed us something of who you are. And we are better for it. And for their lives, we give you thanks. Amen. Let us stand together and sing. And as we sing, we invite you to come as you feel led, and if you feel led, to light your candle in remembrance. Please stand.